The reading this morning is Psalm 30. It's on page 558 in the Pew Bibles. Song of David. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, you, his faithful people. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gain if I am silenced? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord my God, I will praise you forever. Amen.
Thank you very much, David. I feel a little reticent at the beginning when I've got people in front of me who've just spent a week at New Wine, who've had rather different experiences than sometimes we have in church. I'd like to pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are there and that you hear us. I pray now that your Holy Spirit will take the words that I have and will use them, that all of us may hear something from you, something that we need, something that will challenge us, something that will encourage us and move us forward in living our lives for you. And so may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we have Psalm 30 this morning, the second of the Psalms that we're looking at over this series, a Psalm of Thanksgiving. Last week I was preaching on Psalm 42, a Psalm of Lament. The sermon I preached before that was the middle one in the Habakkuk series, the series that was called When God Seems Unfair and Why Does God Tolerate Evil? And I referred then to an earlier sermon that I had been asked to preach on suffering. So imagine how pleased I was, therefore, when I discovered that this week's sermon was about a psalm of thanksgiving. At last, something a little more joyful. And then I looked at this psalm and I found a series of words which changed my joy a little. I don't know whether you noticed them. Words like out of the depths and enemies and called for help. Going down into the pit, anger, weeping, mourning, dismayed, destruction, wailing, sackcloth. Not the most joyful collection of words. So even if it is a psalm of thanksgiving, what are we being thankful for? Well, not that selection of words anyway. We're often told what the reason was for the writing of the psalms. This one was written by David. And it says at the beginning, it's for the dedication of the temple. I found that quite interesting because when David was king, there was no temple. In fact, it wasn't built until after his death by his son Solomon. The note at the bottom of the NIV says that it could be for the dedication of David's palace, and that sounds more possible. The psalm was traditionally used and has still been used by Jews at the dedication of a new building. But many scholars believe that it was for something different that David wrote this psalm. David had committed a sin. I know that, well, it wasn't the only one, but there was one on this occasion. He had carried out a census of the fighting men in his kingdom. Doesn't sound a great sin when you say it like that, does it? But when a leader counted his people in those days, it was to prepare for war. And at that time, there was no war. They were at peace and had been for a while. And so God sent a prophet called Gad to offer David three choices of punishment. The first was 7 years of famine. The second was 3 months of defeat. And the third was 3 days of pestilence or sickness. What would you choose? David chose the last one, the 3 days of pestilence and sickness, because it came directly from God. And when men get involved in things, things get a bit messed up. But it resulted in 70,000 people dying, and David himself became ill. He built an altar on the threshing floor of Araunah, which some believe was where Abraham was believed he had to sacrifice Isaac. And it was also the place where Solomon later built the temple. And David insisted on buying the land and the animals that were necessary for the sacrifice. He said that it wasn't right to sacrifice when it cost him nothing. And there at the altar that he had built, David is forgiven for his sin. And he dedicates this altar and writes the 30th Psalm. It's written as a psalm of thanksgiving. And specifically, we'll see David describe his thanksgiving for deliverance from various circumstances. The psalm thanks God for repeatedly bringing David through his difficulties, which perhaps explains the use of some of those words that I quoted earlier. So let's have a look at the parts of the psalm. It splits into about five parts. The first is the very beginning, the first three verses. I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead. You spared me from going down to the pit. So as the psalm begins, we are left with the impression that David had a terrible sickness. Perhaps it had been caused by the plague that had killed 70,000 in the population. And he was so ill that he really believed that he was going to die. Verse 3 describes the feeling that death is imminent. And furthermore, this illness had caused his enemies to rejoice. They were gloating and they were rejoicing over what David was experiencing. But David called to the Lord his God for help, and God lifted David up from the depths of his illness and his despair. And because God had spared David, he says that he will exalt and praise the Lord for what has been done for him. The second part of the next two verses, verses 4 and 5, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. David knows that he has sinned. Like him, we know that we have sinned. How many times do we sin in our lives and make bad decisions that anger the Lord? God has the right to hold our transgressions over our heads and to keep us accountable for every violation. How beautiful it is to know that God's anger lasts for only a moment. But how much more beautiful to know that God's anger lasts only for a moment, but we have the knowledge that God's favor lasts a lifetime. Like an injection that we are given and its results, God's anger lasts only a moment, but the good effects go on for a long time. For all that we have done and continue to do against God, we can still find his favor. Think of David. and the sins of his life. Yes, he did order a census that wasn't necessary except for David's pride. But he also had Uriah killed so that he could marry Bathsheba. And what does God say about David's character? He says that David was a man after his own heart. Anger for a moment, favor for a lifetime. And so he begins that part, sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people, because his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts for a lifetime. And the third bit, verses 6 and 7, when I felt secure, I said, I shall never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Yes, he was dismayed when God hid his face. The message puts it this way. Then you looked the other way, and I fell to pieces. Security had made David feel invincible. Although he knew that his riches and his power had come from God, they had gone to his head and they had made him proud. We know the way we must walk, and we must choose to continue to walk with God. We sing songs that say that God will be an anchor for our souls and that we will never be shaken. When we're in God's favor, we can stand like a strong mountain. We can stand so strong that we can say the words, I will never be shaken. We can have total confidence in God to carry us through any circumstances. And many of you can say, I would never have survived the trials of my life if it hadn't been for the strength that I found in the Lord. And so we thank him. The fourth part, verses 8 to 10, to you, Lord, I called. To the Lord I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silenced, if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. And David returns to the thoughts of verse 3. He's again thinking of his imminent destruction. But he called to the Lord for mercy, and he received it. We sang about that earlier, didn't we, about the mercy of God. Perhaps it's worth adding at this point that we can call to God at any time and he will hear us. He is always ready to listen, and it's never too late. That doesn't mean we should keep putting it off, but it's never too late. He's waiting for us to talk to him. We read in the scriptures of people who committed all kinds of acts of wickedness and yet responded to the Lord for his mercy. The end of the story of Jonah, for example, when the people of Nineveh did exactly what Jonah was afraid that they would do. They repented and God forgave them. That was why Jonah didn't want to go to them in the first place, because he was sure that was what would happen, because he knew his God. The story of Jesus and the woman who was brought to him who had been caught in the act of adultery. She should have been stoned. That's what the law said. But Jesus did not condemn her. We need to thank God for his mercy. And the last of the five sections, the last two verses, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. David says he went from sackcloth to dancing and joy. Joy for all that God had done. God can move us from the pits of despair and from the mire of sin and set us up to stand as firm as a mountain in the Lord. It doesn't matter what situation we find ourselves in. God has the power to change our lives when we surrender them to God, to him. We know this happened from different Bible stories, including David at different times. And then there was that man Saul, who became Paul, on the road to Damascus. That was a real turnaround. And David concludes the psalm by a reminder that we must always give thanks for how God has changed our lives. We need to thank God for placing us where we are today. All my examples so far have been from the Bible. to illustrate what we are reading. But sometimes that can seem as if it happened a long time ago. Does the same thing happen today? Well, I believe that it does, and I hope you do too. A couple of examples, and I'll try and watch the time, because once I get talking. As some of you know, we spent 3 years working on the Thai-Burmese border among a group of people called the Karen. The Karen have many members of their tribe who are Christians, but they also have people who are not Christian, who are quite pagan, who are perhaps animistic, and certainly believe in spirits. And at the school where we worked, we had a young man who this affected greatly. On one occasion, one of the teachers at the school was very seriously ill. In fact, she did die, but was brought. She was given the kiss of life, and they thought it would be good to take her to hospital. They weren't sure they would be able to do anything, but they put her on the truck that the volunteers had for driving them around, and they drove the 25 kilometres to the nearest hospital and took her in, by which time they declared that she was dead and there was nothing that she could do. The next day, because this happened during the night, this particular young man I talked about went to the volunteer who was there at the time and said, "You know that shirt that I left in that truck?" "Yes." "Is it still there?" "Yes." "Was it there last night when you took Tale to hospital?" "Yes." "Then will you please throw it away, because I don't want anything to do with it. It will be full of the spirits of the dead." And that was his firm belief. A few days later, he came back to the volunteer and he said, "Did you throw that shirt away?" "No," she said. "Then can I have it back? Because I think that God's power is stronger than the power of the dead." That change in the young man's thinking can only have come from God through the work of the Holy Spirit. He had been built for the whole of his life on the belief that these spirits were there, that they were powerful. But he had now come to the belief that God's power was greater than the power of those spirits. And the volunteers at the time were really thankful to God for what he had done in that man's life. A little earlier in our lives, we went out to work on the island of Tristan da Cunha in the middle of the South Atlantic, which some of you will have heard of and many of you won't. It's a very small island. In 1961, there was a volcanic eruption there. It happened very close to the village. They weren't sure, the people living there at the time, exactly what was going to happen, but this red bubble kept coming up out of a fissure at the side of the volcano, they learnt later. And they became very frightened. Now, it just so happened that there was an administrator there on the island at the time who'd been sent from Britain, who was very good at making decisions and had the good of the people in his heart. And he said, "Right, we're going to leave the island because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what will be the result of this." So it just so happened that the sea was calm enough on that occasion for them to launch their boats, which were sailing boats that they could row. Let me say, they lived on the weather side of the island because it was the only place where there was fresh water. During a year, they could only have between 40 and 60 fishing days because the rest of the time, the sea was not calm enough for them to be able to launch the boats. On this occasion, it was calm, and they left and went to a nearby uninhabited small island. It just so happened that on the radio, they heard that a cruise ship was passing nearby, and there were enough spaces on it to carry the 200 people who had come off the island to South Africa. They don't use the words, "it just so happened," anymore. They very firmly believe that God was behind everything that happened on that occasion. Yes, the volcano did erupt, but all the lava flowed away from the village. They didn't know that was going to happen, and they were able to return. One house was damaged. They were thatched with flax, and a spark from the volcano landed on the thatch and it burnt. That was the only damage in the whole village. They knew that God had them in the palm of his hand, and they are still grateful over 50 years later. I could go on, I won't. I'm sure you could provide similar stories. This psalm reminds us that we should continually give thanks to God for what he has done in our lives. From times when we've been sick or depressed and the time has passed. From times when we have realized about our sins and that God has dealt with them and still loves us and still cares for us. From times when God has turned our lives round totally. We should continue to thank God for all he has done, and in particular to thank him for sending Jesus into the world to live the life of a human being, to die that wicked death that he died on the cross in order that we might appear before God as if we were righteous, and therefore we can look forward to eternal life. So for what he has done, for what he is doing today, if only we'll open our eyes and ears and hearts to him and take notice of it. And if we remember these things, we can trust him for all that is to come, because he is the same yesterday and today and forever. We have a lot for which we should be thanking God. I'm going to pray now, if Leo and the band would like to come back and lead us in the next part of our worship. Heavenly Father, there is so much that we need to thank you for. Help us to keep thanking you. Help us to keep seeing you in the things that are happening in our lives. Help us to recognize when you're speaking to us. Help us to know that your Holy Spirit is there and is prompting us and prodding us. Lord, we are so grateful for everything that you have done for us as time has gone on, even when we've not noticed or realized it at the time, but we can as we look back. Thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that we can come before you knowing that our sins are forgiven and that eternal life awaits us when it's our turn. And we bring these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.